We continue to transition into a new year. It's been a busy season for many. You know, it's a time that our routines get upset and turned upside down, and there's all kinds of different things happening. But it's not necessarily always a season of rest. Sometimes with all those unexpected things, it's just hard to fit it all in. We've all been busy wrapping, ripping open, and recycling many gifts to and from each other. Some of those gifts, I'm sure, have excited us. Some have brought great joy. Some we don't want to take off or put down. There are others that we're not quite sure what to do with, where we should hang them on the wall, or what drawer they would ever fit in. And then there's those other gifts that we really wonder if we can take them back or not, because we're just not quite sure what to do with them. Even though they were given as a gift from somebody, it came from the heart, it was given with great intention, we're not sure what it really means for our life today. We've been busy gathering with family and with friends, filling ourselves with all kinds of great food, and sometimes even some regret for that great food afterwards, because it comes so much at once. We've been filling our lives with new resolutions, hoping to find some new way to purge all that good food as we move into the new year, and so many other things that get in our way in life as well. But at the same time, God has continued to be at work. God has been working through the Scriptures, revealing the gift that comes to us in Jesus Christ. A gift that is irrevocable, non-returnable, and downright priceless. A gift that sometimes we're not quite sure what to do with. A gift that we're not even sure we recognize it in our lives because of all that's going on. Yet today, God's plan to restore the world with healthy, life-giving, and eternal relationship moves into high gear. It takes a whole new step on the journey that Jesus was making out into the world, not only to change the lives of the people in that time when he was living, but to change our lives right here today as well. I'll share with you from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Again, this week I'm going to be reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message and a little bit more modern language. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him, but John objected. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right, all these centuries is coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. And the moment that Jesus came up out of those baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice. This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, the delight of my life. May God add his blessing not only to the reading and hearing, but to the coming alive of his word in our lives. To the coming alive of that truth that in the baptism of Christ, God's work of making everything right was coming together, has come together, and will continue to come together. Many of you have heard me talk about God's grace being a lot like a river. It kind of flows down through the pages of time, touching people's lives in all kinds of different ways. It's an image that works really well for me because I love spending time outdoors. I love the water, whether it's a river, a pond, a lake, or the ocean. I love spending time there. There's something sacred about some of those moments on and near and in the water. I enjoy kayaking. I enjoy going out into the water and finding a new pond or a new lake or a new slow-moving stream to kayak in. The rapids just don't appeal to me. Neither do roller coasters, so you kind of see the pattern there. But one thing I've noticed about kayaking is there's all kinds of different ways to get into the same river. Sometimes those spots into the river are well-marked. Sometimes they're maintained by the state, and there's a sign at the end of the road, and there's a cement ramp down into the water that makes it easy to get into. Sometimes it requires asking permission to get across somebody else's property, to get into a river, to get into the water. Then there are those wonderful places to get into a river or even into a pond or a lake that have kind of become hidden over the years. The brush and the trees have grown up. The path that many people have used in the years gone by kind of seems to be hidden among it. Maybe even the trash of people driving by has left it hidden to many. But yet, when you take the time to find your way through it all, you end up in this beautiful spot where you can end up into the river. God's grace is like a river with all kinds of ways to enter it as well. Baptism is one of those well-marked places. It's one of those places that's given by God, it's maintained by God, and it's God who extends the invitation to each and every one of us, right here and right there, to enter that river of grace. The world that Matthew was writing to and that Jesus was being baptized into wasn't a world that was unfamiliar with ceremonial washing and being clean before you came into the presence of God. Every time that somebody came to worship during those high and holy times in Jerusalem, there were ceremonial baths throughout the city that people had to go into if they were going to be a part of certain areas of the service. And when they were going to bring their offerings to God and to the priest to offer up to God, they had to be clean before they came. And so every time they came, they had to get into these baths with one another. Because they lived in a broken and fallen world. They recognized that we get dirty as we wander through life and as we deal with all kinds of different things in the world around us and the relationships that we're in and the situations that we face. But the one who comes to be baptized today wasn't unclean. He wasn't one that had been corrupted by the world. He was conceived in a very different way. He was born in a very different way. Yet he humbled himself not only to be born in that manger, but to enter into the living waters of our world. A world that's sometimes filled with a lot of uncertainty. But a world that's also filled with the certainty of God's grace. And Jesus was coming to make that known in all kinds of very real ways. Many of you have heard me talk about being baptized in the Jordan River. It wasn't a clean river that he came up out of. It was muddy waters. It was a river that had a really muddy base to it that your feet kind of sink down into and get stuck there. A lot like life. You ever notice that sometimes, no matter how hard we're trying, no matter how things seem to be going, we come into these places where our feet just kind of get stuck there, and we're not sure what to do with it all. It's a river that's filled with all kinds of things that are, it's teeming with life. There's all kinds of things that are swimming and moving in these dirty waters as well. Israel is a land that's kosher. And especially in this day, was very kosher. And so the only fish that are considered kosher in that Hebrew tradition are those with scales on them. Well, the Jordan River is filled with catfish. And guess what? They don't have scales on them. And so they're of no use to anybody because they're not a source of food. And so one of the things that they warn you is not only not to slip on the concrete as you make your way into the water, but they also warn you that you may be surprised by the things that swim between your legs while you're there, because those catfish can startle you. And isn't life filled with all kinds of things that startle us as well? Things that happen to us when we least expect it. Things that just bump into us in the bright of day or in the darkest part of the day that we're not expecting. But yet this baptism that Christ was about to enter into and has entered into and that we celebrate today reminds us that the grace of God is bigger than it all. That He was going to deal with sin once and for all. Sins of the past, sins of the present, and sins of the future would all be met in the work that Christ was doing in His life, His death, His resurrection, and His baptism. As you know, the Federated Church is a church that's made up of two different traditions. the United Church of Christ, the UCC, the United Methodist Church, the UMC. Baptism has all kinds of different traditions and all kinds of different churches. And it's lived out, and how it's lived out and how it's explained differs in them. So I want to talk for a minute about what baptism means for us. And in order to do that, one of the ways I thought I'd do that was to lift up both traditions and some words that are taken from our tradition, from each of those traditions, and some words of teaching that the denominations use to share with people. In the UCC Church, it talks about the sacrament of baptism being an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, something that John Wesley taught and lays the foundation for the Methodist Church as well. Through baptism, people are joined with the universal church. It's not about just one church. We recognize that, as the scriptures say, there's only one baptism. There's one faith, and it's all of a gift from God. It's all offered up to us to celebrate and to share with one another. And the kingdom of God is bigger than the walls, and it's bigger than the denominations that anyone is a part of. Through our baptism, God works in us the power of forgiveness, the renewal of the Spirit, in the knowledge of the call to be God's people always. Baptism is a sacred moment on our faith journey and in our relationship with God. It's not the source of one's salvation, and it's not a ritual that's going to guarantee a good life, an easy life, or a life without mistakes, or a life without pain. But it's about a relationship. It's about a journey together with God. Baptism with the water and the Holy Spirit, according to the UCC, is a sign and a seal of our common discipleship, of our common desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be made into the image and to reflect the image of God, as we heard the choir singing about earlier. Water is an important part of baptism because it symbolizes that washing away of our sin. It brings to life the scriptures that talk about God's forgiveness and God's cleansing and our need for that cleansing, but that God's willing to do it once and for all for us. And that when God washes it all away, He moves it as far as the east is from the west. And that God takes our sins, and even though they might be as red as something that's scarlet in color, God turns them as white as snow. Like the snow falls on the ground outside today and covers up all the stuff that was there a few days ago. God's grace does that time and time again in each one of our lives, and that's something that we can celebrate. John Wesley, as he was laying the foundation for the Methodist movement and eventually would become the Methodist Church, he lifts up three different perspectives, three different views, if you will, of baptism. And baptism is one of those things that, like a scripture, there's all kinds of different sides to it. It's not about something that's black and white and linear, but it's more like looking at a diamond and realizing there's all kinds of different ways to see this and communicate it to one another. Wesley talked about it being a sacrament, about it being a gift from God, about it being a free gift from God, nothing that we can earn, nothing that we deserve. Nothing that we can pay God back for either, because it's just too great for that. And it being a sacrament also lifts up the piece that there's something that mysterious that happens there as well. That while we can study it theologically, we can talk about it and find ways to communicate what baptism means to us, there's still something more going on there than meets the eye. Because it's God who's at work in this invitation, first and foremost. He has a covenantal view of it. He talks about the baptism being a covenant, which it is. It's a covenant between us and God to live life together, to journey through life together. Two parties on that road together. Marriage is another covenant that we share between two people. And that brings that covenant alive as well. It's kind of, again, a sign and a symbol. And a way of illustrating covenant relationships to the world that we live in. Because the church is called to be a sign to the world. It's called to be a light to the world, as Diana read earlier. And that comes out in covenant relationships. Covenant relationships between us and God. Covenant relationships between each one of us as we journey as God's people together. That's why baptism takes place is really designed to take place in the church as a rule. There are some times when it's done in the hospital. There are some times where it's done in emergent situations in different places. But really, it was designed to be done in the church because it's a ritual that involves the entire community. We realize that none of us was created to live in a bubble, that we're called to walk through life together with God as well. He also had a symbolic view. He had a symbolic view of baptism as well. That the ritual of baptism, that there's really, it's an outward sign of something that's happening inside of us. Something that's going to happen down the road as well. That it's about a journey and about a relationship. But again, that the ritual itself is a symbol. And it's a sign. And it's a way of celebrating it with others and celebrating it in the world. In marriage, again, that going back to that covenantal relationship. We have signs in marriage of the covenant as well. An outward sign of something that's happening in the heart of two people. What's that sign? The ring, absolutely. Many traditions say that. This is an outward sign of an inward love. In a sense, the ritual of baptism is like that wedding ring. It's a sign to the world of something that's happened deep down inside. Something that we may be struggling to put words to. And that something that we may not even have a clue of how to put words to. Because it is a gift from God. Christ was baptized into the chilly Jordan, and God applauded the fact that a new age was beginning. Jesus would begin his ministry, and he'd begin to make friends with people that we would never dream of reaching out to. He would humble himself and die on a cross. He would be resurrected. He'd ascend into heaven so that the Holy Spirit might be poured out in an even deeper and greater way. And so the work that he was doing might spread into all times and in all places. And so that people would know that God doesn't make his home just within the walls of a church or a building or a worship place, but that God comes to live and dwell in the hearts of men and women, people, just like you and I. Many of you may have noticed in the news this last week, Congress did something special after they had gone through that time of swearing in new people to Congress. They began the new year by reading the Constitution out loud and lifting up those words that are really a foundation of who we are as a nation. In the Christian year, the baptism of Jesus is set right at the beginning of the year so that we can move into the new year remembering what baptism is about for us as well. Remembering the foundations of our faith, realizing that it's not about something that happened many years ago. It's not about a baptism that happened to us, not quite so many years ago. But it's something that's making a difference every day because it's about a journey, because it's about a relationship. And so I want to invite us to think about it for a minute. We have a chance today to join our hearts with God and to applaud Jesus' baptism. We have a chance today to celebrate and to remember and to reflect on our own baptism. If we haven't been baptized, I'm always open to talk with you more about what that is and how we go about that. But the question in the middle of it all is, are we really willing to let Jesus plunge even deeper into the icy waters of our lives and empower us to live in even deeper, holier, and more abundant ways than we could ever dream of asking? Will we take the time in the year that lies ahead to enjoy faith-filled friendships with those around us in the body of Christ, in the church, in the community? Will we wander through life wondering if we're alone, living as if we're alone, dealing with the issues that come our way as if we're alone? Or will we trust the one who comes to work in our lives through all the situations that we face? This time I want to invite us to have a chance to come forward and to symbolically remember our baptism. It's not a time of being rebaptized. That's not something that we do that's a part of either tradition. But it's a time when no matter what church, no matter what place we've been baptized, we can come forward and physically reach into the waters of baptism and remember that God is with us and that God is at work in our lives even still today. That's the wonderful thing about when we have baptisms in the church. It's a chance to remember it. And this is something as we move into the new year that we get to do that. So in a minute, I'm going to pour the water into the baptismal font. We're going to join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. And then just take a couple minutes to let people come forward and to reach into that water. And you can put it onto your forehead. You can feel it in your fingers. You can come with a spouse, a friend, or somebody that you don't even know that well if you'd like. And feel that water and splash it on one another. You know, I was walking out of the church in Moncton this morning after we had celebrated that together. And, of course, there's not a baptismal font there. We used a bowl that I had brought and poured water into. And as I picked up that bowl and I started to walk out, it kind of splashed all over the front of me. You know, baptism, really, that's the way it ought to work. It's about God's love and God's power and God's life filling us in such a way that it splashes all over other people. It makes this world a different place. God calls us to come with the faith of children. And while it's a sacred moment in our faith journey, it's something that we need to learn how to celebrate through the eyes of children, with the faith of children. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of baptism. We thank you that you were willing to step out of heaven, be baptized into our world, that you might walk with us all the days of our lives. As we pour these waters into the baptismal font, we give thanks for the way that you've been working water all down through the ages. You are at work creating through water and in water as the world began. You've been cleansing lives through water. You've been refreshing people's lives through water all down through the ages. Water has been a part of worship. It's needed to even survive in the world. And today we come to remember the waters of baptism. Some of us may remember it in a very real way. Others, it may be something that's been told in stories and shared in that way as well. We pray, Lord Jesus, that no matter how or where or when we were baptized, that as we come to the living waters of your baptism today, we might remember your presence in our life. If there are those among us who have not been baptized, it's a time to come and to touch the water and to think about that promise and that covenant and making that decision and knowing that it's you who's making the invitation right here and right now, that we might have a conversation about that in the future. So Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on this water. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this time. Pour out your Holy Spirit in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds right now, that we might experience your grace in a very deep and personal and special way. Lord, we look forward to what you'll do with this time as we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.